So, like, I'm doing this radio program, okay, and out of the blue.
My whole day has had its interruption. I can't even complete a bloody sentence.
But you keep on interrupting every second.
Oh, you were sleeping? The brain science of interruption. Sorry, that's just how it is with the takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good interruption. I mean, good morning to you. It's Tuesday, March 3rd. I'm John Hockenberry. You think we're kidding? We're not kidding. Adora Udoji is away. Farai Chidea is with us for the next 3 weeks. She'll be in the program this morning. You'll be hearing from her a little bit later. Coming up this hour, we'll look ahead to UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown's visit to the U.S. and discuss yesterday's very depressing day on the stock markets continued around the world. And we're seriously going to find out how interruptions can actually enhance your appreciation for what you're doing. Those stories coming up, but first headlines. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Jerusalem today, her first tour of the region as the top U.S. diplomat. She said yesterday she's optimistic about working out a peace agreement between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
I personally am very committed to this. And I know that it can be done. I believe that with all my heart.
Today, Clinton called for a halt on the rocket fire on Israel from Gaza. She said the U.S. will work closely with any new Israeli government and is scheduled to meet with Israel's prime minister-designate Benjamin Netanyahu later today. Here in the U.S., U.K. Prime Minister Gordon Brown is in Washington, D.C. He'll be the first European leader to meet with President Obama since he took office. More on that meeting coming up in just a moment. Femi, okay, can you top that?
Well, I will top your British prime minister with a Russian president.
Ooh.
Our partner, the New York Times, is reporting that President Obama sent a secret letter to Russian President Dmitry Medvedev last month. The letter suggests an agreement in which the U.S. would back off from deploying a new missile defense system in Eastern Europe if Russia would help prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons. There's been no response so far from Moscow. Meanwhile, President Obama is sending Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner to Capitol Hill today to defend the proposed 2010 budget. Lawmakers in both parties have questioned tax increases for high earners. Geithner may also face questions about the White House request to have another $750 billion on hand for troubled banks. It's Congress's first chance to publicly question the Obama administration about the budget.
On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow finished below 7,000 for the first time since May 1st, 1997. Asian markets felt the pain today as well. Japan's benchmark Nikkei slid near its lowest point in 26 years. All major European indices are down too. Both the Dow and S&P fell more than 4% yesterday. The S&P, get this, starts trading at 701. It looks like there may be a bounce off the bottom this morning. That's what the futures trading shows. So, Femi, you are actually a victim of interruptions, right?
I'm glad you do recognize that, John.
Mostly. I'm, I guess, an interrupter. We're talking this hour about the positive side of interruptions today, the brain science of interruptions. We all get interrupted every day in this multitasking world. Which are you, an interrupter or a victim of interruptions?
John, hold on a minute. Tell us your stories. 1-877-8 my take. That's
an
interruption.
I'm a victim.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. I'm John Hockenberry, and we're very excited today on the program. We are joined by Farai Chidea all this week. Good morning, Farai.
Hey, John. I am delighted to be
here.
Also, big shout out to Adora, who I know, and
yes.
Also Jerome.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jerome, who was here last week from WDET in Detroit, and we were saying hello to Detroit all last week. I'm excited about the program for a number of reasons. We're going to be talking about whether you're a victim or an actual perpetrator of a perp of
interruptions. What are you talking about?
Yeah, there we go. interruptions, the brain science of interruptions. We're going to actually talk about that a little later in the program. And we want your responses at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. And I know you are very excited about this. Watchmen opens as a movie on Friday, but most of us who have read the graphic novel know all about what a prophetic sort of tale of the end of the world envisioned from 1986. And here in the middle of the book, we'll talk about this a little bit later, Afghanistan. Is Pakistan next? That's on one of the newspapers in there. Prophetic. We'll find out if the apocalypse envisioned in 1986 has maybe come to pass or is easier to imagine in any case. All that with Farai Chidea, who's on the program all this week and for the next 3 weeks, right?
Absolutely.
That's right. All right, great. So, bad day for markets this week. We're also going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. But first, we take a look at Gordon Brown, who's in Washington, D.C. We want to welcome to the program Philip Stevens, associate editor of the Financial Times, who we're very grateful to have with us to talk about this visit to Washington, D.C. by the British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown. He used to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, so he knows all about the U.K. economy. And I suspect, Philip Stevens, that's going to be on the mind of the UK Prime Minister as he sits down with Barack Obama, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think it's at the very top of his mind. Now, I mean, these meetings are always a bit more important for British Prime Ministers than they are for American presidents. I mean, ever since we lost our empire half a century ago, we get a bit neurotic about how seriously we're taken in Washington.
How did you do that, lose the empire? I mean, it is a huge thing, you know, to lose.
Well, it was a big thing. As I remember, one or two American presidents helped us along the way.
Yes,
on that. But this meeting matters a lot for Gordon Brown because he's hosting this big summit in London at the beginning of April called the G20 Summit, when leaders from all over the world, from China and Russia, as well as from the Western industrial countries, are getting together in London to see if they can fix the global financial system. And this meeting can be a success only if President Obama engages and puts, if you like, America's weight behind it. So far, he hasn't. Gordon Brown will be saying to him today, look, we've got to make this summit a success for America's good as well as the world's.
Now, is it possible, because if you look at the sort of numbers in the UK, the economic situation there conceivably is more dire than it is in the United States, even than other places in Europe. The financial sort of stability in the city seems to have taken a real hit, particularly because it was dependent so much on investments from Asia. Is there any suspicion that Gordon Brown might be whispering in Barack Obama's ear some looming difficulties for the UK economy in the months ahead?
Well, there clearly are difficulties, and we've had a lot of problems with our banks, but so is the U.S. We've seen the U.S. government take that big stake in Citibank last week. So I think Gordon Brown will be saying, look, these are shared problems. Our two financial systems have been hit more badly than others around the world. But, I mean, I was in Japan last week, and their economy is sinking even faster. So this really is a global problem, and this will be Gordon Brown's message will be, look, we can get out of this together, or we can stay in this mess together. But above all, the U.S. has to lead not just in getting its own economy sorted out, but leading a global effort. I think that's an important message. And I think the British are fairly optimistic that Mr. Obama will listen, because the summit in London will be his first foreign trip, as it were,
right,
his first big summit. So he's going to want to, if you like, show the folks back home that he's made a success of it. That's what the British are hoping for anyway.
This is an official visit, not a state visit. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that actually Gordon Brown isn't a head of state. He's a head of government.
I see.
Here in the UK, we still have a queen who's our head of state. So we can't have state visits unless it's the queen.
I see. And who knows? Maybe she'll come because she's got all that money. You know, maybe she could make a deposit at AIG or something and help us all out.
I think even for the queen, times are tough.
Yes, indeed. Philip
she's
Stevens.
Got all those investments.
Indeed. Philip Stevens, associate editor of the Financial Times, joining us from London talking about about Gordon Brown visiting the White House today. He's going to sit down with President Obama at about 11:30 Eastern time, which is after we go off the air, but we'll report on all the details tomorrow. And again, the G20 summit, which Gordon Brown will be hosting, very much on the minds of Barack Obama and the Prime Minister of the UK, Gordon Brown. So let's look at the market numbers. Let's just look at the market numbers. The S&P dropped 4.7%. It is at its lowest level since November of 1996, bringing its losses for the year, just for the year, to about 22%. I saw yesterday that at one point during the day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average from its peak and the S&P 500 from its peak in October, I believe, of 2007 has fallen 54%. We want to welcome to the program Michael Hunter. We're grateful to have him here. He's the markets reporter for the Financial Times. The numbers being at these levels, 1997, 1996 numbers, Michael Hunter, what does this mean particularly? Are we finding a bottom here, or is this just a wholesale abandonment of equities as an investment option?
I think that's exactly the question, John, and I think it's a lack of clarity about which of those two options we're really facing at the moment, which is adding to the fragile confidence, which is in itself part of the problem that we're looking at. It's that lack of clarity and that lack of a see-through, if you will, which is making the market sell off all the more frightening this morning. We saw such big falls on the FTSE yesterday that we were able to enjoy a little bit of a bargain hunting bounce in early trade this morning. That's since been wiped out. Even some strong numbers in the banking sector from one of the UK banks focused on emerging Asian markets hasn't been able to steady the mood. And I think until we can see sentiment calming in the medium term and get a little bit of a clarity and a little bit of poise back, we could really go either way.
You know, the last time we spoke, there was a lot of movement in the market towards, you know, some sort of quality or a refuge, trying to find some sort of security. And the dollar was that for a time. And even U.S. equities were that for a time. But that seems to have gone away. I mean, you have a stock like General Electric, which is being viewed with the same sort of suspicion as Citigroup. It's trading down below, you know, 9 at this point.
Absolutely. And even having Citigroup in that kind of category for a shock stock is in itself a shock when you bear in mind how recently you and I would have been talking about the flight to quality really involving a company of the size and scope of Citigroup. And that tells its own story and gives us a great insight into what's been going on the markets in the past few months. But there is a certain element of hope out there in some respects. And I think people are now beginning to try and look to the medium term a little bit more. I still think there's room for optimism in parts of President Barack Obama's vision of dealing with some of the problems with these toxic assets from the roots upwards rather than from the tops of the toxic debt trees downwards. There's still people trying to come to terms with the kind of time scale that that might involve in terms of coming to more of a conclusion and more of a way in which we can pull out of this mess. And as that process continues and people start to look forward, we will in many ways, I suspect, start looking back to early March and late February of 2009 as perhaps the beginning of the end.
Michael, this is Farai today. I just want to ask you specifically about Japan. The Nikkei is just taking a beating. We just had on Philip Stevens from the Financial Times saying that he'd been in Japan. There's been a financial relationship, between the U.S. and Japan, particularly around the auto industry. What ripple effect will that have on the U.S.?
I think in terms of Japan, the strengthening of the yen status as a safe haven currency, a steady bet, is of course hurting their export industry, which is of course so significant there and so interlinked with its trading relationship with the US and with the way in which it does business globally as well. And it is of course very much one of the problems which we face at the moment is trying to work out exactly after this shakedown has happened how damaged those kind of relationships will be and what the prospects for the speed of the recovery will be when the markets and the investors within the markets can start assessing exactly what's changed.
Well, you say it very well, Michael Hunter. It's a complete reset of the financial relationships of nations like the U.S. and Japan, a reset of the markets, a reset of the whole calculation of global value. Michael Hunter is markets reporter for the Financial Times. Thanks, Michael.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So as this reset proceeds around the world, they say the numbers to watch are volume down, huge, volume up, even in big swings, tiny. That's the big, that tells the tale.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.